Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. This program is all for listeners who are developing or maintaining a private practice, particularly if it's a healthcare private practice. Now, most healthcare practitioners have built their careers, and I know that for myself, around their passion for health and wellness, and they aren't trained to develop a career as a successful entrepreneur. Today, then, we're going to discuss key strategies for private practices to survive and thrive. My guest today is Brandon Siegel. He is a business coach, president of Wellness Works Management Partners, and author of the new book called The Private Practice Survival Guide, A Journey to Unlock Your Freedom to Success. Now, for over 15 years, Brandon has managed multiple private practices and consults with entrepreneurs and private practices throughout the world, listeners. For more information about Brandon and his new book, go to wellnessworksmp.com. So welcome to the program, Brandon. So nice to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Terry. It is absolutely a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure to have you as well. So tell listeners, Brandon, to start, what is a business coach? What does a business coach do? And how you got started in this business?
Well, it's so interesting. I'll try to make it a little brief because I know we have a short period of time, but it's so interesting that you work on family dynamic and personal dynamic and everything, because I would not be in the place that I'm in today if it wasn't for family. So my entire life, my parents thought I was going to be a business person, and I've been fortunate enough to help entrepreneurs for over 15 years, really strategize and create solutions around effective management of people, operations, efficiency, systems, buy-in from clients, etc. But over 10 years ago, I was fortunate enough to marry my wife, and my wife is an occupational therapist, and my mother-in-law is an occupational therapist, and my brother-in-law is an occupational therapist.
Wow.
And so I was kind of thrown in because my mother-in-law came to me right before I married her daughter and said, I know you help entrepreneurs, and would you ever think about helping me? And I joined her private practice and helped manage and optimize multiple private practices, primarily in pediatric therapy, occupational physical speech therapy. But over the years, we had home health and outpatient and rehab and all different kinds and schools. And what ended up happening was I started speaking about how I was able to transform our different business models and really elevate my mother-in-law as a purpose-driven entrepreneur. And through that journey, I ended up starting to work with other purpose-driven entrepreneurs, and it snowballed. And so I work with everyone from marriage and family therapists that are launching their own private practices to physician private practices, surgeons. I have breast cancer surgeons. I have chiropractors. I have educators that are creating education-based private practices. A lot of the times, private practices only think that it's related to healthcare and physician-based services, but really private practice is a business model that's founded on delivering a service to help the human condition. And that could be physical, that could be emotional, that could be even spiritual. And so I've been blessed to be able to help, from a business standpoint, transform the way that specialists, clinicians, practitioners, etc., are delivering their service delivery, helping the human condition, and run success successful business practices. And so everything
that,
from
Brandon, I love it. Well, of course, I love the idea in your story that family is so important, that you really got involved in doing what you're doing now because of your family. And I think for me, Brandon, that was an influence in my life too. If it were not for my family being a family of therapists and healthcare practitioners, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And the second part that was so interesting that I love is that, you know, healthcare practitioners really are oriented toward the care that they give to their clients, their patients. And we forget that it also is a business. And so what you're doing is taking this business model into the healthcare practitioners or private practices in general, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you know, because you've been doing this for so long, you put your heart, your mind, your body, your soul into everything you do and every client. And unfortunately, people forget that that comes at a cost. And so I spend a lot of time helping bring transparency to exchange and what exchange means, because exchange with your employees, exchange with your clients understanding exchange, because I think as a society, as time has gone on, we've lost this understanding of that every single person has a way that we exchange. And exchange is not just monetary. You know, exchange is purpose, exchange is drive, exchange is seeing someone, getting the satisfaction of seeing someone grow. But there are so many different forms of exchange, and we have to honor that. In order for us to thrive, we have to create effective exchanges that work for both parties involved.
Now, what's the difference then, Brandon, between an exchange, as you're talking about it, and a relationship, as I may talk about it? Because when you were talking about exchanges, I was thinking a relationship between practitioner and client, parent, child, friends, romantic partners. What's the difference? Or is there a difference?
I don't think that there's a difference, but often people think of relationship based on emotion and based on communication, and they don't always tie in monetary into that relationship. And so they forget that there's so many different values in exchange. And, you know, we're in a world where cost is rising and the reimbursements don't always align with the speed of the increase of expenses. And so what we're finding in today is that the exchange has to be beyond monetary, and those relationships really have to tie into all different avenues of exchange. What's the intrinsic motivation exchange? What's the, you know, all those different areas, so that we're creating an experience where someone feels appreciated, acknowledged, and exchanged in abundance on both sides. So that when you put in all your effort, your energy meter is going up and being recharged based on enough variables of exchange, not just monetary, but everything else. Because I know a lot of people that make a lot of money, but their exchange on other avenues, other sides, are not getting filled up, and that's why they burn out.
Right.
And a lot of people forget that.
And people do forget that they have to not only think about themselves, but these other types of exchanges. So before we go to strategies about how to have a successful private practice, tell us about why you think someone should even go into a private practice rather than going to work for someone. Because I know many listeners or my audience may be thinking about that, but right now they're working for someone else. So what do you think are the advantages of a private practice?
Well, the first off is, I think the advantage is you get to create something that might not be easily created by someone else. And so I always say, I'm like, you know, there are people that have this incredible gift and they are governed by rules that don't always align with them. And so sometimes working for big health systems, sometimes working for other employers, I don't think you get into private practice for the money. And that's probably the biggest misconception, is a lot of the time therapists say, I want to launch my own private practice because I think I'm doing all the work and my boss is making all the money on me. And if that's the case, you're going to flop and you're going to be really disappointed. Mm-hmm. You get into private practice because you want control over the quality. You want to build something that has meaning, and you see an opportunity to scale a service delivery model that is solving enough problems that can create both success on, you know, financial independence, emotional independence, you know, mind, body, spirit are getting supported in the big picture of what you're delivering, so that you're going to be waking up every day rejuvenated for the cause that you get to create in this world.
So that's very interesting. So one of the misconceptions you're saying, Brandon, is that many people think they go into private practice for the money. So that's one misconception, because you're not going to make more money, or you shouldn't think that way. Is that the issue?
I think that there's a lot of extra work. And so at the end of the day, if you look at the entrepreneur's hours that they put in to be successful versus the employee's hours to be successful, the hourly rate that you get usually ends up being more from an employee than the entrepreneur. Eventually it switches. So right, there is a point, but if you're working 25 or 30 hours a week and you're making $75,000 a year, and then you go into private practice, chances are you're going to be working 60 to 80 hours a week, and maybe you make 85 or 90 or 100 grand, but when you break down the hourly rate, you're making less per hour, is my point. And so eventually, if you scale right and you've got the right people and the right systems in the right place, it will turn into an opportunity where it's making money for you without the same energy units. But that can take 10 to 20 years, depending on the business model. It doesn't just happen overnight. And so there's a lot of, there has to be intrinsic reason from an emotional standpoint, an energy standpoint, a purpose standpoint to create and go on this journey. If you're just looking at money, I think there are easier ways to make more money.
Right. And I have to say, personally, I agree with you. As soon as I became my own person and my own business as the Love Doctor, it took lots more hours and lots more time and lots more money. So, okay, let's get to your new book then, Brandon, The Private Practice Survival Guide. What are some strategies for private practitioners so that they can be successful and even thrive? Give us some ideas of those strategies.
So first off, I just want to share that the book is meant, even though it's very motivational, it's an instructional guide. So there's 10 core competencies that I lay out, and I really have a lot of lists, because a lot of the times the first thing is private practice practitioners usually start where they put the cart before the horse, and they start seeing clients and they have no planning or anything. So from a strategy standpoint, I actually want you to do some of the due diligence before you open your practice. I want you to make sure that you hit all your compliance factors, you get your business license, you create your S corp or your LLC or whatever, not you go through, you know, ideally you go through a checklist so you understand all of the things that it takes as a business owner, because a lot of the times you get caught in mud because you didn't know. And I hear it all the time. I didn't know better. Measure twice, cut once. Do the due diligence before you just open shop and start taking people. A lot of people don't realize the liability insurance and some of the different facets. So my first strategy is measure twice, cut once, and plan as much as possible. Take 90 days to create an action plan of everything you need to achieve before you open your practice.
Wow, that's a good strategy. So think, plan ahead before you open up the private practice.
Yep. And I know it sounds like, of course, but you'd be surprised. I would say 9 out of 10 private practitioners that I see, usually what happens is they go, well, someone came to me and they wanted to see me privately. And why not? What do I have to lose? Am I supposed to turn this down? And they end up trying to learn on the job, but they also make big mistakes. The second strategy I will say is, no matter how big or small you are, start with efficient systems. So start with technology. Start with an electronic medical record system. Start with a practice management system. Start with a basic one that's reasonable and cheap and not a huge investment. But definitely start, because once you go into the paper route and you're trying to make that changeover later, it costs a lot of money between scanning and transition and training. And so if you can start from day one in an efficient system, it's going to make you more effective.
But now I have to stop you, Brandon, because I can hear listeners, right, thinking, but I'm going to be spending so much money up front with a system, with a business coach, with making this plan ahead of time, with my license. And so I'm going to be losing money at the beginning rather than making money or even making what I used to make.
Well, a couple of things. You're going to be losing money no matter what, usually from day one. It just happens. But you will, in my opinion, hit your profitability faster if you're systematic in how you go about it. So in my opinion, your first 90 days of planning, you should still be working your full-time job, and that should be your weekend and night deal.
Oh,
I think that you open your practice in gradients. The other piece is I know electronic medical record systems that are incredible that literally cost as little as $35 a month. And if you can't afford $35 a month, then, you know, there's something wrong is the way I'll say it, but it's literally the price of 7 lattes a month. And so, and it does the job, it gets everything done, it's really efficient, it's customizable, and there's a lot of systems out there. The one that I tend to use with smaller practices right now is called Theranest, T-H-E-R-A-N-E-S-T. It works really well for mental health practitioners, physical health practitioners, all different levels, very inexpensive. I have no tie-in. I get no monetary benefit from it. I just am sharing it because it's a really inexpensive, effective EMR system. Simple Practice is another one similar. There's a couple of these smaller technology companies that I think are coming out with really good products and are really cost effective.
Oh, that's great. And I like the idea, Brandon, or your suggestion or advice that you're doing these 90 days ahead of time while you're working at your other job. Now, can we go back before we talk about another strategy about the plan ahead of time? How detailed should my plan be? Do I need to go way into the future? Do you want me to go 5-10 years? How much in the future should my plan be?
So I believe in doing an 18-month plan initially, because the first 18 months is your most critical. And so usually when you're going 3 years, 5 years beyond, you're going for like small business administration money, SBA loans, et cetera, and stuff like that. But in all transparency, what I would really like you to do is I would like you to have at least 3 months where you're working your full-time job. And ideally, in a perfect world, you are going to be in a position where you're filling 3 days of your week through part-time work for other people while you build your own private practice. Mm-hmm. Because I want you to make the switch over in an effective way. And one of the things that I think is smart is slow growth is actually better than fast growth. Fast growth can people often will fail if they grow too fast. And it sounds funny because everyone thinks, are you kidding me? Like, Brandon, quit. Like, if someone dropped $1 million on my doorstep tomorrow, you would turn it away. I would be really hesitant. Because a lot of the times, the quicker you grow, there's strings attached, there's things you don't know, and you're going to get caught. I hate to say it in this way, but you're going to get caught not ready. And you're going to end up burning through a lot of money through your learning curve. So I think slow and steady always wins the race in a private practice game.
I like that. You know, it's so funny you should mention that just as a sidebar, Brandon, because I always tell my husband if I won the lottery, like $1 million or $7 million, I wouldn't want it either because that has so many strings attached and things like that. So we definitely think alike. Now, before we get further again, does the type of private practice influence what kinds of strategies, what kinds of advice you give to people?
I think the type of funding sources that we're working with and the demographic that we're supporting are the biggest things. And so whether you're there's a difference between when I work with a mental health practitioner or a social emotional practitioner or a chiropractor, and let's just say an internist, a physician, their variables are going to be a little bit different. The way that they play their game is going to be a little bit different, but there are core business foundation models that apply to everything. And, you know, even in my book, a lot of people say that everything I say actually applies to everyone, regardless if you're a private practice or not, but I use a lot of strong examples of how it relates to health, wellness, education, private practices. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I know I'm rushing ahead, but one big strategy that I have has to do with cash flow, because so often than not, people are buying their business. And what happens is they, Brandon, no one can afford anything. I need to go get insurance. They don't do any due diligence, and they make judgment based on emotion versus research. And they end up signing a really bad insurance contract as their payer source. I'm going to go take on this Medicaid contract, and it costs them dearly, because what they don't realize is that the reimbursement gets really messy. And I mean, depending on the Medicaid plan, but all I'm saying is I want you to have 60% of your cash flow within 30 days of your date of service. So any insurance, private, government contracts you get, you must guarantee that you are bringing in 60% of your revenue within 30 days from your date of service.
Wow. So how is that possible always? I mean, I even think of insurance companies who take longer. I think of granting agencies who take longer. So how is that possible?
So
Oh, no.
So a couple things. Well, first of all, if you have the technology in place, you're going to be submitting your claims within 24 hours of your date of service. That helps. I go into some practices where they wait 7 days to send in their paper claims to insurance. Well, 7 days makes a huge difference, first and foremost. The second thing is, within 24 hours of submission, you're going to know from your clearinghouse if those claims got submitted accurately, so that you're giving the benefit of the doubt. And then the third is, I survey the insurance and other people that accept that insurance what the payer habits are. And so I know which insurances tend to pay within 30 days of date of service, which don't. I also try to build government contracts that guarantee pay, because I have, so one of our programs in California is called Every Child Achieves. We work with the underserved, developmentally challenged children, going, delivering occupational, physical, speech therapy, mental health, the whole bit. And we get paid within, usually we get paid less than 30 days. So we actually bill on the fourth, and we're guaranteed, as long as we bill by the fourth of the month, we'll get paid by the end of the month.
Wow. That is super, Brandon. Now I understand what you were talking about. And I have to say, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to get to just a few more points. First, who do I hire? How do I know who to hire? How many people, from a business point of view?
So we hire slow and we fire fast. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is, we evaluate not just the clinical skill sets, because that often misleads us. We read everything on resume and we make those mistakes. We see 25 years of experience and we assume they're incredible. The biggest challenge in today's work-first market is the condition of the humankind, not the actual condition of the clinical education. You can train the clinical education. You can't train the quality of person. So you need to build on what their self-awareness is, what their social-emotional condition is, what their passion, their purpose, their intrinsic motivation, and you have to create a 3 to 5 step interview process, which I do lay out in my book, and I'm happy to help people build that if they have any questions. But I do think that the hiring process is the journey that's the most important part of expansion in a company.
Oh, very good advice. And in the 2 minutes we have left, Brandon, tell listeners about your book and where we can buy it.
So the Private Practice Survival Guide just came out this year in 2019. It's available all over online, Amazon, Target, Walmart, you name it. It is also available in some bookstores. You can also, just so everyone knows, you can go on BrandonSiegel.com. And I definitely have info on me and speaking and all the different things I'm doing. But the book is designed as a 10-module learning process where you basically, whether you own a practice or you're starting a practice, can go line by line to make sure that you're doing everything effective and efficient and creating change in this world through really simple strategies.
Thank you so much, Brandon. I really enjoy talking with you, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you too. It's been a pleasure.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about Brandon Siegel and his new book called The Private Practice Survival Guide, A Journey to Unlock Your Freedom to Success, you can go to wellnessworksmp.com or, as Brandon said, brandonsiegel.com. And as always, thank you for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. And while you're on my website, be sure to sign up for my free monthly newsletter. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.